This is going to be a challenge to your heart, to my heart today. I want you to know I love you and the Lord, and God has been burning some things in my own heart about being a man of God and a woman of God. How many want to be a man of God? Let me see your hand. Some of you didn't raise your hand. You're not sure if you want to be a man of God or not. How many women want to be a woman of God? Let me see your hand. That ought to be our prayer. God, make me a man of God. I want to preach on this subject. Here's the title. Lord, make me a man of God. Lord, make me a woman of God. You know what, Brother Dave? This week, I was talking with a dear friend. Goes to one of the biggest churches in Georgia. If you want to know the name of the church, it's First Baptist Woodstock. And this man told me, he's a deacon at the church, and he told me as I met him and talked with him, he told me about a dear friend that I've got that I went to school with years ago. If I called his name, some of you would know him. He was a pastor, was a mighty in evangelism. God used him greatly. And now he's not serving the Lord. His marriage is in shambles. He's got a divorce, and it's sad, and my heart goes out to this man and to what God wants to do in his life. And by the way, none of us are exempt from the devil tearing up your home. None of us are exempt from the enemy trying to come and to kill, steal, and destroy. Well, when I heard that, needless to say, my heart sank. I believe that God is still in the restoration business. But make no mistake about it, the devil's not happy when we serve the Lord and when we make a difference for Jesus and for His glory. You know what? Sometimes we get to the place where we act like we really don't need God. How many think, well, I need the Lord? How many be honest and say, I need Jesus today like I've never needed Him before? Is that your affirmation? I don't know about you, but I know for certain I need the Lord Jesus right now. I need the Lord now like never before in my life. Can you say that today? I need Jesus now as a godly daddy, as a godly mama, as a godly granddad, as a godly grandmother, as just a man of God. I need Jesus. When's the last time you really sought the Lord and cried out to God for God to do what we've been talking about, cleansing you, making you a vessel meet for the Master's use? Sometimes we get this idea we don't need the Lord. Reminded me of what I heard some years ago about Muhammad Ali. How many know who Muhammad Ali is? Everybody knows him. Well, he was flying on an airplane, and the airplane stewardess said, buckle up your seatbelt. Well, he said in defiance, he said, Superman don't need no seatbelt. That's what he said. She looked at him and said, yeah, Superman don't need an airplane either, so buckle up your seatbelt and get busy. We're fixing to fly. Can I tell you something? We sometimes think we don't need God only when trouble hits, only when problems arise. But may I remind you, we are needy people. We are needy people. And God's going to challenge us today. Here's the message that God's burned in my heart. I confess I don't know how to preach it. I confess I don't know what the Lord wants to do in the service this morning. But I'm believing God is going to call some men out. God's going to call some women out that'll say, hey, I want to be a woman of God. I want to be a man of God. Maybe we've gotten slack. Maybe we've gotten cold and indifferent. Maybe we've kind of gotten just casual about our Christianity. And today God's going to call some of us and say, I want you to be a woman of God. You're not really, maybe, and I'm not really doing what we could be doing in these days. We're turning to the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Wow, somebody says, I've not heard this ever preached from 1 Chronicles 12. Fact is, I've never shared this message nor from the text before. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Here's where we're going in the message. Listen to me, beloved. Here's where we're going. There are two parts to the message, and here they are. Number one, how you can be a man of God. Number two, why you need to be a man of God. how you can be a woman of God, how you can and why you ought to be a woman of God. I hope you'll get your pencil out and pen. I hope you'll say, Holy Spirit, speak to my heart. Make me a man of God. Lord, make me a man of God. In just a little while, we're going to see how many are serious about being a man of God. Hey, we're on borrowed time. We're not sure how much more time we've got. But I know this, if we've been saved by the grace of God, one day we'll stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ. Don't you want to have those words? A man of God, a woman of God. Oh, God, make me a man of God. Let me just set the background and the burden for the message. Here in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, how many are familiar with David? Let me see your hand. David, he is, first of all, he is anointed king of Judah. Now watch this, look up here, pay attention. Look up here. David is king of Judah. Here is Judah, the southern kingdom. And yet Saul is over here. He's king of Israel. That just so happens that David was chosen by God and setting the stage for our passage of scripture today. You need to know that David is on the run. He had killed Goliath, but because of jealousy, Saul, who is the king of Israel, he tried to kill David, and he tried to eliminate David because David was popular with the people. All right? Saul was anointed king. Saul had the backing of thousands of people, and yet David, on the other hand, he's on the run. Saul's trying to kill him. And the next thing you know, David is hiding in a cave. 400 men come and say, David, I believe in you. By the way, these 400 men, they were in debt, they were distressed, and they were discontented. They were discontented. Hear me now. Are you listening? Say amen if you're listening. They were just discontented. It sounds like modern day America to me. Saul was not the kind of leader that could lead a nation. And some of those men got sick and tired of trying to follow a man who couldn't get in touch with God, who did not have a heart for God. That sounds like modern day America to me. It sounds like some leadership we've got in America today. But nonetheless, these 400 men abandoned Saul and Israel, came over to David in a cave. I'm just setting the background for the message today. Now, listen, Saul, because of his disobedience, because of his jealousy, because of his rebellion toward God, God said, Saul, your days are numbered. And how many know that little consequences, little compromises, lead to great big consequences? Here's the bottom line. Saul and his son Jonathan, we'll talk about in a little while. Saul met his fate. He was out in battle against the Philistines, and an arrow struck him. It was a deadly arrow, and Saul knew that his blood was pouring out. He knew it was the end. So Saul takes his sword to kill himself. One account says an Amorite killed him. Another account says that he fell on his sword. Here's the bottom line. Saul, King Saul, died. Now, having said that, Israel is still a nation. Judah, the people that are following David, David's on the run. Saul has another son besides Jonathan. Anybody know his name? His name, you're going to learn a new name today. Ish-bosheth. Ish-bosheth. Say it with me. Ish-bosheth. Say it again. Ish-bosheth. He was his youngest son. He was next in line to be king of Israel. But he didn't have the leadership skills. There's some men I'm looking at in the crowd today that God has placed you and me in positions to be servant leaders for God. And yet we know we're not unworthy. We know we're unworthy. We know that we don't deserve anything. But God, by His Holy Spirit, calls a man and a woman to serve Him. In this case, Ish-bosheth. Let's say that name together. Ish-bosheth. He was the youngest son, but he didn't have leadership skills. Bottom line was his right-hand man, Saul's right-hand man. His name was Abner. Let's say that name together. Abner. Say it again. Abner. And Abner saw that Ish-bosheth was not indeed a spiritual leader. And so he broke ranks with Saul in Israel, came over to David. And watch this. That was the pivotal point. The men that followed Saul, the mighty men that followed Saul, they went and joined the ranks of David. And David was crowned not only king of Judah, but watch this. He was crowned of both Judah and Israel. And therefore, their capital or their place of where their foundation, their support, however you want to term it, David moved it from Hebron to Jerusalem. And that is the founding of the importance of Jerusalem. All right? I said all that to say this. We come to the text today, and you're going to see more clearly what's going on, the background to our text. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 1. If you're there, say amen. There are reasons why you and I need to be men of God and women of God. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Now, you know when we read the Chronicles, you know what they are? I dare say we probably skip over this and just kind of hadn't read. Not only does a man of God need to pray, Brother Dave, but let me add to it. A man of God needs to know the Word of God. Amen? He not only needs to be a soul winner and a prayer warrior, but he needs to be a man of the book and a woman of the book. Because thank God it's God's wonderful word. In 1 Chronicles, the word Chronicles means record. It means account. It means a story, Brother Dave. You talked about a story. That's what Chronicles means. Did you know that? Write it down. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 12. 1 Chronicles 12, verse 1. Stand as we read the wonderful, infallible, inerrant, unbreakable Word of God. Would you stand together as we read this together? 1 Chronicles 12. We're going in two places today. Number one, how you can be a man of God. Number two, why you need to be a man of God. Hang on now. God's going to speak to us. God's going to call us. Somebody says, but Brother Pastor, I'm doing all I can for God. Well, bless the Lord for that. But there's some of us here that need to go a little further. There's some of us here that could do a little bit more. There's some of us here that need to develop that prayer, intimacy with the Lord on a daily basis, not just at a set time, but praise God, pray without ceasing throughout the day. There's some today that we have our circle of influence, and God has given us that opportunity to share the gospel, share Jesus as we've been challenged already. Look at this. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Now these are they that came to David to Ziklag, while he kept himself close because of Saul, the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men. I want that to ring in your heart. Mighty men. How to be a mighty man of God. How to be a mighty woman of God. And so, reading further from verse 1. These were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. Look at verse 2. They were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. Here's the bottom line. Look up here. Here's the bottom line. Look up here. Here's the bottom line. These were men. They could throw it with the left hand. They could throw it with the right hand. Man, they could put a sling and a rock in that or whatever they needed. Throw it with the right hand. Throw it with the left hand. They could hit a hare from off a distance. Bottom line, these men were mighty warriors, mighty men. God raised up some mighty men. And so you need to understand that any church or any nation will never rise any higher than the men and those women that are called by God in the church. I'm telling you, there's a principle right here. So goes you, so goes the church. So goes me, so goes the church. God's calling us today. Watch this. Keep reading now, because we skip down to verse number 8. In verse 8 of 1 Chronicles chapter 12, and of the Gadites. I described to you. Now some of you are wondering, where are you going, Brother Pastor? I just told you about Saul and Israel and David. And I'm telling you, you're seeing this unfold. These men are departing from Saul's Wicked reign. The man who didn't know how to get in touch with God. He didn't know a future. He couldn't get in touch with God. And so people didn't want to follow that. They knew they were in a mess. And so they broke ranks and came over to David. Listen to me. Beloved, if you're in a leadership position in your job, I'm looking at some men that you're in a leadership position in your job, there are going to be some principles we're going to talk about today that are so vital when it comes to servant leadership. Watch this now. In verse 8, and the Gadites there separated themselves unto David into the hold to the wilderness, men of might. Underline that. Men of might. And men of war fit for the battle. I like that terminology. That could handle shield and buckler. Who's, look at this, underline this. Have you got a pen? You need to underline this next phrase. Look at this, I love this. Whose faces were like the faces of lions. Man, they were like lions. They wasn't going to back up. They wasn't going to quit. No, these were mighty men. Mighty men. Mighty men of God. God, give us some mighty men today. And thank God for those who are mighty men. They had faces like the faces of lions. Look at this. And they were swift as the roes upon the mountains. Look over at verse 15. These are they which went over Jordan. Verse 15. In the first month. These men that I just described to you. When it had overflown and all of its banks. By the way, this was a dangerous time. The banks of the Jordan River overflowed. These were mighty men. They did not flinch in the face of adversity. They were willing to cross the river. Whatever it took. Hey, I'm talking about some mighty men today. I'm talking to some women and men today that need to step up to the plate and stop being spectators and start being participators. Amen. We are in a battle. How many know we're in a battle? How many know the devil's not happy when you serve God? But I tell you, the devil's defeated. And thank God he's going to be thrown in the lake of fire one day. And we are on the winning team. We are the blood-bought, the blood-washed church. And God wants us to rise with a sharp, two-edged sword, the word of God. Amen. And amen and amen. It's going to challenge you now, men. Look at this. Verse 15. These are they which went over Jordan in the first month when it overflowed all its banks, and they put to flight. Look at this. They put to flight all of them of the valleys, both toward the east and toward the west. You told us about those different churches. God is blessing. I want you to know it takes a mighty man of God to stand up and say, bless God, I'm not going to run from the devil. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. Can I get an amen in the house? You want to be a mighty man of God, or you want to be a woman of God? We're in a battle. Either you're fighting for God or fighting against God, and it's hard to kick against the prince. God's calling us today to go and to love the Lord with all of our heart. Look at this now. Skip down to verse number 23. Verse 23. And it says, the Chronicles, from a priestly point of view, wrote these words. And these are the numbers of the bands that were ready armed to the war and came to David to Hebron. I mentioned that a moment ago. To turn the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord. One more verse, verse 32. Skip down to verse 32. Well, let's back up to verse 31. Verse 31. And of the half tribe of Manasseh, 18,000, which were expressed by name to come and make David king. And of the children of Issachar, let's say that name together. Issachar, say it again. Issachar, look at this. I'm reading out of the Bible. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had, watch this, understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. And if you read in between these lines, you'd find out there were thousands and thousands of mighty men that came and united with David. They saw a common cause. They saw God at work. They understood the past, the present, and the future. Tell me, what's God up to in your life? Tell me, what's God up to in this nation? Tell me, what's God up to in your family? Have you got wisdom? Have we got discernment these days? Let's pray and ask God to just move on us today and change us and cleanse us and fill us and anoint us. My prayer today is that you'll take the challenge and you'll step up and say, I want to be, Lord, a mighty man of God, a mighty woman of God. Father, I pray now in the name of Jesus, you'll move and have every all the obstacles and hindrances bound from this place by the blood of the Lamb. We thank you, Satan's overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, help us, dear God, to yield our all to you. I thank you for saving me. I thank you for loving me. I thank you, Lord, for calling us to love you and serve you and to make a difference, Father, while there's time. And Lord, we just praise you now, what you've done and what you want to do. God, call out men today. Lord, call out women today. Lord, call out young people today. Call out teenagers. Call out children. Lord, you used David as a little ruddy lad to kill the giant Goliath. Lord Jesus, have the preeminence here, and we thank you now. We praise you now. It's all about you. It's all about, Lord, fulfilling your purpose, which you saved us and called us for a time such as this. Thank you again for victory in Jesus. In Jesus' name, we give you praise and glory, changing lives, saving souls, reviving your church. Lord, it gives us great joy to hear the fires of revival burning throughout communities and churches. God, may it start right here in my heart. May it start among us today and burn, precious Holy Ghost of God. Burn the dross out, and that may our God, Lord, you restrain the works of Satan. And Father, release your power. Release your glory, God. Help us to love you and serve you. And thank you now for what you're going to do. Expect you to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen and amen. You may be seated. How to be a mighty man of God. Get out your pencil and pen. You're not going to remember this, but I dare say that the Holy Spirit of God is going to use this in your life in the coming days. Get out your pen and pencil. Number one, how can I be a mighty man of God? Don't come to just sleep now. That's the biggest hindrance in the church. You come to church and you're used to just sitting and just letting your mind be preoccupied and looking out the window and thinking about today, about a race, or thinking about what you've done yesterday. But God wants to zero in on us today. Listen to me. How can I be a mighty man of God? How can I be a mighty woman of God? There are three special needs. We find in the text that God quickened in my heart to share with you. Don't you want to be a man of God? Do you want to have that written over your name like Alexander the Great, the coppersmith, or Demas? Paul said, let me for this present world. You see, a lot of Christians today, we're so preoccupied. We're so distracted by the things of the world. I know we got to work. I understand we got to provide for our family. But so many of us men are consumed and dominated with worldly things instead of the things of God. And I love you, but I know it's tough, and I know that you're here for a purpose, and I want you to know we're in this battle together. Women of God, you know you've been distracted, and you know today God's speaking to you. You need to make a change by the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Three special needs. Here they are. Number one, if you'll notice in verse 1 and 2, men of God and women of God, we need to know how to fight against the enemy. We need to know how to fight against the enemy. That's found in verse 1 and 2. How many believe that we've got an enemy? Let me see your hand. How many believe that we're in a war? Let me see your hand. How many believe that the devil's not happy us sharing the gospel and trying to reach lost souls? But that's all right. Hey, we've been called by our commander. We've got the captain of our salvation. He's leading us from victory to victory and from glory to glory and from faith to faith. We're not on the defeated team. We're on the winning team. Y'all might be on a defeated team, praise God, but I've read the book and I know how this thing turns out. Amen and amen and amen. Why don't we rise up and act like it? Why don't we let those petty things go, deal with them, and just say, God, I see it's a distraction. You see, the devil's trying to distract you from loving the Lord and serving the Lord with all this stuff going on in your family and all this stuff going on in the community and all this stuff going on in our workplaces. All it is a big distraction. The fact is, you can't fix it anyway, only God can. The enemy knows. Number one, we need to know how to fight against the enemy. Number one. Number two,
We need to have a keen, K-E-E-N. We need to have a keen sense of purpose. Tell me, do you have a sense of purpose in your life? We're going to see that in verse number 32. A keen sense of purpose. If you're going to be a mighty man, if you're going to be a mighty woman, you and I need a... This is why I'm here, Lord. It's not to make $1 million. It's not to work up the corporate ladder. It's not for popularity. It's to make a difference for you and for your glory. A keen sense of purpose. Number three. If you're going to be a mighty man of God, if you're going to be a mighty woman of God, you and I need to have enduring courage. Enduring courage. How many know it's not easy serving God? How many know that that's why some people aren't serving the Lord, making a difference? Because the first little battle comes along and you hightail it and you say it ain't worth it. That's why people drop out of church. That's why people don't teach and serve in Awanas these days and stuff like that. It takes time. And we'd rather be watching 60 Minutes or we'd rather be watching Daytona 500 or we'd rather be watching the Super Bowl or we'd rather be doing other things. Listen to me. There's nothing wrong with the NASCAR and Daytona 500. There's nothing wrong with the Super Bowl, but what is wrong is when we put those things ahead of God. Amen. And so often we do, and God knows it. I'm not saying this any other reason, but telling you sometimes I need somebody in my life that loves me and sees what God wants to do. Number three, we need enduring courage. That's found in verse 8. We'll see it in a moment. And then I hope, Lord willing, we'll get down to 7 reasons you need to serve the Lord. Yeah, we're going to get to it. You say, Brother Pastor, how in the world are we going to get there? We're going to get there. Mark it down. We're going to get there, even if I have to fly through it. Number one, the first special need that you have and I have is this. It's number one, we need to know how to fight against the enemy. Look at this, verse number 2. They were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left hand in hurling stones, shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. You say, Brother Pastor, this is the Old Testament. Yep, but may I remind you, in the New Testament, Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. We are in a battle. We are in a battle. The battle's the Lord's, hallelujah. And listen to me, God's calling some of us. God's calling you now. Hey, by the way, what are people going to say when you're dead and gone? What are people going to say about you? What are they going to say about you? Well, he was a good man. She was a good lady. When they walk by the casket, what are they going to say? Well, she was a good mother. She was a good wife. He was a nice man. What are they going to say about you when you're dead and gone? I like what 3 men were talking about this subject. One said to another, said, I know what they're going to say about me. Said, what? Say he was a good daddy. The second man said, you know what I want them to say about me? He said, no, what? That he was a good husband. The third man spoke up and said, what do you want them to say about you when they walk by your casket? He said, I want them to say, look, he's still moving. Hey, we're in a battle. May I remind you, we signed up for this battle by the blood of the Lamb. And until we take our last breath, we are in this army of God. I pray God will speak to your heart today. Raise up some men of God, mighty men of God, mighty women of God. God says, I've got a plan for you. I've got a purpose for you. Number one, we need to know how to fight against the enemy. Look at this. These that abandoned Saul came over here to David. They could throw a stone. They could shoot a bow with the left hand, with the right hand. Man, they could knock a hair off your head at a distance, according to the word of God. These were mighty men. I don't know about you, but any church that's doing anything for God needs some mighty men of God and mighty women of God. Will you take the challenge today? In a moment, will you say, Lord, I want to be a mighty man of God. It's your opportunity. God's calling you. God's telling you, A lot of this other stuff, it's got you sidetracked. It's time to get in the mainstream of the blessings of God. Number one, we need to know how to fight against the enemy. Number two, we need to have a keen sense of purpose. Look at this over in verse 32. Look at this. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. Do you see this back in verse 15? For they that went over Jordan in the first month, when it overflowed all its banks, they put to flight all themselves in the valley. These men of Issachar were men who understood the times. How many know we're living in a late day? How many know we are in trouble with God as a nation? I'm not going to pull any punches with you. Brother, we are in trouble with God. You think God's happy with what's going on with all of the wickedness and all the evil and all the bombardments of the world, the flesh, and the devil? Somebody said, if God blesses America, he has to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Hey, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see. God, give us some men of Issachar. Open our eyes. Can I just tell y'all something that I was thinking about yesterday? It's high time we get some discernment in our churches. You know why? Wow, just somebody comes on the news or some politician start talking about God or the Bible one side of the mouth, and they're drinking and getting drunk and living like hell and sleeping around the other side of the mouth. Friend, that is a contradiction. It's time we who name the name of Jesus, we're not perfect, but thank God we need discernment to see that's not our role model. That's not what Christianity's all about. It's taking up a cross and following Jesus. The world is looking at these sports stars and music stars, and we've developed the ideal Christian life. No, no, no. What we need to do is open this blessed book right here and say, God, this is what you say, this is what you mean, and this is my plumb line. This is my standard to follow you. Our world is being influenced by, how many know that not everybody says there's Christians are Christians? There's a lot of it's easy. It talks cheap. The walk is where it's at. We need discernment these days. That don't mean we should be self-righteous. That doesn't mean we should look our own noses down. But we need to be able to say, Lord, that's not right. And I'm not going to set that as a precedence. Or that person who claims they're a child of God and yet they're living in habitual sin and disobedience to God, they're not a good role model. We bought into it though, hadn't we? We need discernment in these days. Number two, we need a keen sense of purpose. Tell me, are you fulfilling your purpose? Listen to me. I will tell you this. I talked with a lady last night. She said to me about her daughters. She said, my daughters, I don't want them to be pressured into this being saved and all this business. And I said, I understand, ma'am. I don't want to be pressured in it either. But at the same time, you need to know this appointed unto men wants to die after this to judgment, after death is over. You don't have a second chance. Mamas, and I will say something. I love you, but I got to say this. I just need to ventilate. Is that all right? It's time mamas and daddies get out of the way of your children, keeping them from coming to Jesus. It's time, grandparents, get out of the way. No, you don't know what you're talking about, and you don't know. God, help us. This dear lady don't come to church, and I'm not saying she's a bad lady. I'm not saying she's not a Christian. I'm saying this. She's let some bad experience in the past keep her children from hearing the gospel. I didn't tell her this, but when I hung up the phone, she was in a hurry, needless to say, hello. When you start talking about spiritual things, people get in a hurry. I didn't tell her, but I started to. Hey, ma'am, I've had the privilege of standing and preaching a 16-year-old girl's funeral. Where are your children going to spend eternity? Hello? And by the way, I just set the record straight. I said, listen, ma'am, we're not in it for... And I didn't say this, but this is what I meant. It's a heartbeat of ours, and you can tell, you can testify. When somebody is under conviction, children and teenagers, we want to get with them individually. We're not in this numbers game. We're not trying to see how many we can baptize. We're not just going through the motions, trying to win this award or that award. I don't want to stand in the way of anybody being saved. But many, many times it's obvious from talking with young people, they're not ready. And when they're not ready, we ought not to baptize them. Let Jesus save them. And this lady said, praise God, I'm glad to hear that. I feel more relieved about that. Well, that's whatever it's worth. Anyway, we need a keen sense of purpose as a church. Tell me, men, can I get honest with you? Are you leading your family? Are you being the priest in your home, the provider in your home, protector in your home? Are you saying, honey, we need to pray? How many are praying with your wife every day? Don't raise your hand. How many are praying with your children every day? Raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Fact is, we need to redig those wells today. You're not praying with that wife, are you? You just wait to get to church and pray. Come on, man. How can we expect God's blessing? We'll never be a mighty man of God. And by the way, those of you say, oh, here comes that legalistic stuff again. No, it's just basic Christianity. Amen. It's not legalism. If you love the Lord, you're going to want to spend time with Him. And not only that, but if you love the Lord, that's what it's about. It's not trying to take a checklist, and I did this, and I did this, and I didn't do this, and I did that. It's yielding to the power of the Holy Spirit. God's calling us today. Mighty men of God, mighty women of God. Number three, mighty men of God, mighty women of God, need enduring courage. I love verse 8. Are you looking at your Bible? Are you looking at your Bible? Verse 8, don't miss it, don't miss it, don't miss it. Look at verse 8. Look at this. And of the Gadites there separated themselves unto David into the hold to the wilderness. Men of might. Let's say that together. Men of might. Y'all aren't too happy, are you? Let's say it again. Men of might. I'm telling you, this message challenges us. We don't like to be told. We don't like to be challenged, do we, these days? But God the Holy Ghost is going to touch one person's heart. God the Holy Ghost is going to touch two people's heart. God, some of you, you're not going to get in on what God's doing today. That's fine. That's between you and the Lord. Some of you are. And for that ones that are, I say, hallelujah, Lord. That's why you put the message on my heart. And some of you are not going to get in on it. I know that. All right, look at verse 8 again. And other Gadites, they're separating themselves unto David in the hold of the wilderness. Men of might, men of war fit for the battle. They could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like what? Man, I tell you, a lion will not back down, buddy. A lion, brother, a lion. Have you ever seen a lion's face? They had faces like lions and were as swift as the roes of the mountains. We need enduring courage in these days. A lion will just look. Have you ever seen these men line up on one side and men on the other side? Can you imagine how it was? Civil War? Can you imagine how it was back in those days with spears in your hand and arrows and bows and anything, swords, and you're lined up and you're ready to attack the enemy? They're all lined up on the other side and your men are lined up on this side. The Bible says these men, their faces were like lions. They weren't going to say, oh, we better leave. They got more than us. 400 little ragtag army of David. Men who were distressed. Men who were in debt. Men who were discontented. And God, hey, watch this. God said, despise not the day of small things. How many know David could have given up in the cave when he was running from Saul? Some of you are about ready to give up. Some of you say, but I don't see my Sunday school class growing. Some of you say, but I don't see a change in my son or daughter or my granddaughter. Hey, weeping men endure for night, but joy comes in the morning. Enduring courage. I like the sort of a man that was bragging about a lion's tail. He said, look what I did. I cut off a lion's tail. Bragging about it. Somebody said, well, why didn't you cut off his head? He said, somebody else already did. A lion. Tell me, are you a man of courage? Do you flinch in the face of adversity? Are you afraid to go tell somebody about Jesus? Are you afraid what they're going to say about you? Are you afraid of being ridiculed? Are you afraid of getting the door slammed in your face? Are you afraid that somebody's going to say, they're a Bible thumper, they're one of those fundamentalists? What's the matter? We need some men of God, mighty men of God. Come on, you can excuse all you want to. Those excuses don't hold water with God. Those alibis don't amount to anything. God's calling us to be mighty men of God. mighty women of God. I'm looking around at some mighty men of God. And I thank God for some of our mighty men. Others need to step up. Lord, I want to be a mighty man of God. How many want to be a mighty man of God? A mighty woman of God. Number two, why do we need to be a mighty man of God? And I'll try to go through this quickly. Number one, why do we need to be a mighty man of God? Why do we need to be a mighty woman of God? Not only how, but number two, why? And there's seven reasons God put on my heart. I didn't read this out of a book. I didn't get this on a message online. God the Holy Ghost. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you the message has been burdened my heart. Anyway. Number one, the first reason. And you see, folks, I want you to know, and I hesitate to say this, but I want you to know how serious I take this being a pastor, a preacher of the gospel. And I know you do as well. I'll just leave it at that. I was going to say some other things, but I don't feel the Spirit of God leading at this moment. Seven reasons. Number one, because mighty men of God and mighty women of God do great exploits. Do great exploits. What do you mean, Brother Pastor? The word exploits means notable feats. Notable feats. I want to carry you back to the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verse 3. Daniel, chapter 6, verse 3. Actually, the word exploits is used in Daniel, chapter 11. It speaks of during that time of Antiochus Epiphanes. Mighty men of God stood. Mighty women of God stood against the Antichrist. That is a symbol of the Antichrist. Do great exploits, notable works. What's that about Daniel? Listen to me, young men that are in business. How many of you got some business, some job? Let me raise your hand. You got a job, you're in a business. Do you do your work with excellence? Daniel 9:6 says that Daniel was different from everybody else. Daniel had an excellent spirit about him. How many believe that the Lord's work ought to be done with excellence? Hey, I didn't say perfection, I just said excellence. Listen to me, men. You're in a leadership position in your jobs. You got influence. Men, you're in influential positions in your job. Be a mighty man of God. Be a mighty woman of God. God's got you tomorrow. You're going to be on your job. You're not there by happenstance. God's planted you there. Be good salt. Be a bright light in a dark world. Men of God. Women of God. You say, but I'm not working anymore. But you can show up at Walmart, amen. Mighty men of God and mighty women of God. Number one, do great exploits. Number two, mighty men of God and mighty women of God. Listen to me. Are you ready? Say amen if you're ready. Do not give up. Do not give up. Mighty men of God, don't give up. They might mess up. I said they might mess up. How many have ever messed up? Some of you today, maybe you feel like God's not going to use you because you messed up. But let me remind you, David, the king, messed up. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. David had Uriah, her husband, killed. David reaped the consequences, and yet David, in Psalm 32 and verse 5 and in Psalm 51, David said, God, create within me a clean heart. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Mighty men of God and mighty women of God, they might mess up, but they don't give up. Some of you say, well, but God's not going to use me. Yes, He will. Make yourself available. Hear God calling you. I want you to be a mighty man of God. I want you to be a mighty woman of God that you can have influence in your family. They don't give up. They might get down, praise God, but mighty men of God get back up. They get back up. Number three, mighty men of God are driven to please the Lord. Driven to please the Lord. Paul said, this one thing I do. Tell me, do you want to please the Lord? Tell me, is that your heart cry today? Driven to please the Lord. I want to please the Lord. It's not about me. It's not about what I want. You see, the fact is, I talked with a lady this week. She's telling me about this. She said, you know what, church I go to, Pastor, she said, we're always having to put out fires all the time. Don't seem like we can get anywhere. Don't seem like we can really follow God's vision. We're always putting out fires all the time. You know why that's true? Because a lot of the God's people are, at best, baby Christians. Get the feelings hurt about this. Get the feelings hurt about this. How many know what I'm talking about? Listen to me. The devil's beatitudes. Blessed are those who are too tired, too busy, too distracted to spend several hours each week with their fellow Christians. They are my best workers. Blessed are those Christians who wait to be asked and expected to be thanked. I can use them. Blessed are the touchy who stop going to church. They are my missionaries. Blessed are the troublemakers. They should be called my children. Blessed are the complainers. I'm all ears to them, said the devil. Blessed are those who are bored with the minister's mistakes, for they get nothing out of his sermons. Ha! Blessed are the church member. I didn't write this, by the way. Blessed is the church member who expects to be invited to his own church. He's a part of the problem instead of part of the solution. Blessed are those who gossip, for they love to cause strife and division that please me. Blessed are those who are easily offended. They will soon get angry and quit. Blessed are those who do not give their offering to carry on God's work. They're my helpers. Blessed is he who professes to love God but hates his brother and sister. He shall be with me forever. Blessed are you who, when you hear this, think this about other people and not yourself. The devil says, I've got you. Number one, mighty men of God, they do great exploits, notable feats. Number two, they don't give up. Be not weary in well-doing, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Number three, mighty men of God are driven to please the Lord. Tell me, does that describe you? Number four, mighty men of God give generously. I wish I had time to labor this. I know my time's about gone. Mighty men of God give generously. They really do. I'm not talking, you say, all you preachers talking about money. Let me tell you what happened to me. I'm not a good guy. I mess up too, just like y'all. I'm in this boat together with you. I'm praying, God, make me a mighty man of God. A few weeks ago, I was having my brakes done on my car, and a man was telling me it was doing my brakes on the car. He said my son and his wife, they had a shelter, and somebody broke in and stole all their furniture, stole all their belongings, their personal items, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm standing there, having my brakes worked on, and the Holy Spirit of God, how many know God's real? The Holy Spirit of God is putting some stuff on my heart to give to that man and to his son and to his daughter-in-law. That don't often happen to me, but I'm sitting here saying, God, but I'm paying $200 to get my brakes done. How can I give money? And God said, just trust me. That was what was impressed upon my heart. And I'm saying this not to brag or boast, because God knows I miss it just like everybody else does. But this time, I obeyed the Lord, praise God, and I had enough. And the Lord put on my heart, give $50. So I gave $50. And then you know what happened? Went down there to First Baptist Church in Altoona, Florida, preached just a few weeks ago. And a man came up to me before the service. He said, Pastor, I want to see you before you go. I said, all right. His name is Hugh. I'd known him a few years, and he and his wife were there at the service. And after the message, preached the message, stood in front of the church and talking with people, somebody came up to me, and they said, Hugh had to leave, brother preacher, but he wanted to give you this. And he handed me a $50 bill. Hugh gave me a $50 bill. Isn't that a blessing? But wait a minute, it's not over. Because when I got ready to go, I was driving all the way back home. I told you I went down there 800 miles, glad to do it over again. Not expecting anything, but just to preach the Word of God. And I'll do it again tomorrow. But anyway, right when I was getting ready to go, a man in the church came up to me. I was getting ready to head out. It was about 11:30. And he came up to me. His name is Don. Don said, I'll see you later, preacher. He's a member of the church there. He's a deacon at the church, or used to be. He's inactive now. He shook my hand, and I felt something in my hand. Guess what it was? A $50 bill. You can't outgive God. I gave $50 and got back $100. Hello, I can't hear you. I'm not saying we bargain with God. I'm just saying God's good all the time. Mighty men of God, give generously. Give generously. Barnabas was a mighty man of God. He gave generously. And then, number five, mighty men of God are not afraid to build a friendship. I'll be done in about 2 minutes, all right? Mighty men of God are not afraid to build a friendship. Jonathan, 1 Samuel chapter 18. You know what Jonathan did to David? Hey, listen to me. Sometimes we think we're on an island by ourselves. We're afraid to build relationships. We're afraid to build friendships because we've been hurt in the past or because nobody understands what we're going through. Jonathan, David, the Bible says Jonathan loved David. David loved Jonathan. You know what Jonathan did? Jonathan gave David his sword. Jonathan gave David his bow. when David was on the run and Saul was trying to kill him. By the way, Saul was Jonathan's daddy. Hello. Oh, listen. Building friendships. Have you got a friend? How many got a friend? How many got somebody you know can count on? Yeah, everybody. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother's born for adversity. Mighty men of God are not afraid to build friendships. Then mighty men of God overcome their emotions. I wish I had time, but I'm just going to labor. Just Moses, he got angry, righteous indignation, when the children of Israel were worshiping a golden calf. But the next thing you know, God tells him to speak to the rock, and he strikes it instead of speaks to it. And he didn't enter in the promised land. Mighty men of God, we've got to overcome our emotions, the flesh. Thank God, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of the lust. Hey, mighty men of God, last but not least, don't miss this. If you missed everything in the message, don't miss this. Mighty men of God, follow the mightiest man of all, Jesus. Mighty women of God, follow the mightiest man of all, the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, he that wished to follow me, let him deny himself and take up a cross daily. Jesus said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men, in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. Jesus said, I believe it's in John 20, verse 21. He said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Tell me, are you following Jesus passionately, wholeheartedly? Are you? Mighty men of God, tell me, as we have a time to stand to our feet today.